The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Arms in 3, 2.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime World Daily. Yes, it's Saturday. A little bonus edition for you. It might be a short one. It might be a long one. We'll find out. But I think this might be, I'm probably wrong here, this might be one of the first times this current combination of Footy Primers have done a show together. It's myself, James Sharman, it's Dan Wong, and it's Jimmy Brennan. Right? The permutations and possibilities, I don't know if this has ever been one before. How exciting for the viewer and listener.
Yes.
What dynamic chemistry can we foster from this one? It could be the beginning of something really special, guys.
The mini pod, the new Footy Prime mini pod.
Yeah, call it a threesome. The Footy Prime threesome.
Yep, I like it.
After dark.
Really after dark.
After pants. Yeah.
Okay, so listen, let's start with some Canada, right? Because that's obviously what people want to hear. Our numbers suggest that's what people want to hear, Wonga.
Yeah, so it's World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by our friends at Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons, it's game on with Tim's.
It is game on. Game on Wednesday against Switzerland, of course. We keep hearing this, the new word, right? The new word, it's gone from like brotherhood. There's been these various catchphrases in the men's program the last little while. But now I've noticed the word is movement. We're part of a movement, and I like it. We're seeing this movement across the country during this World Cup at the moment. We're arriving on the main scene. My question is for you guys, I'll start with you, Wonga. Is it a movement, or could this still become just a moment?
Oh God, of course it could be just become a moment. I mean, I think we're intimately knowledgeable about the ebbs and flows of media and popularity of what sports are getting what play. This has been fantastic for Canadian soccer. I think it's a coming out party. I think there's opportunity, but you have to build on it. And building on it means continued success. We always joke about Jimmy and Craig and Amy about what ails Canada soccer and what ails a football team, and it's a bit of a parallel comparison. It's winning brings people to the table. Winning sets the table for the next viewing, and hopefully media all falls in line with coverage. So as you were talking about off air, Sharms, you're going to a World Cup game to watch as a media person, not covering it. That's a huge deal. Right?
Yeah.
That's you getting that opportunity.
Yes. So that's the Sunday Egypt New Zealand match. The way it works is you get accreditation, then you apply for certain match tickets. And if there's availability, obviously Canada, no problem. But you can apply for other matches to come and watch. Now, obviously, you want to cover them, and I will be covering it to a certain degree. But it allows you that opportunity, which is pretty great. Because it is my first World Cup, right? And it's kind of crazy to actually cover in person. I'm always stuck in a studio in Toronto, something Jimmy can attest to right now. You know, it's all very well. It's great. I love covering World Cups. I'm not complaining about my career and where it's taken me. But I've never actually had an opportunity to be at a World Cup because I'm always in a darkened studio in Toronto covering it from there. But that's life. Them's the choices you make, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jimmy, isn't it?
Yeah, it sucks. It really does. Especially, you know, when you've seen other people like in studio and doing your stuff and or like at the stadium doing their stuff, and you're like, oh man, I wish I was there right now. Mm-hmm. Just enjoying that atmosphere.
Well, it's funny, Jimmy, going back to the question Sharms just asked, moment or movement for you?
I'm gonna say it's a movement. I think just where this game is going and what this team has done, created the awareness, people jumping on the bandwagon everywhere you go in the city now, or in Toronto anyways, you just see Canada jerseys all over the place. I even went to the store to go get one for one of my kids, and they're like, no, we're sold out. Go to another one. No, we're sold out. And eventually I got one. But it goes to show you that people are passionate about this game. They love this sport. We've got a great team to support. A team that made history, scoring 6 goals for the first win in a World Cup, which was incredible. And it's great to see so many young kids now walking around with a Canada jersey and supporting our national team. So I do believe it's a movement. Everybody's getting together now and rallying behind this team, and we're pushing forward. We're growing this game collectively. And you look at all the viewing parties across all the cities, whether it's Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, everybody is out in numbers wearing the red, the white, or the black, supporting this team, which is incredible to see right now. I'm so happy with it.
And that's it, right? I mean, I think we are a soccer nation. I kind of believe that now, but I think we were too focused and are too focused on, to become a soccer nation, you must have tons of money in the game, and corporate and private Canada must step up. And they have to eventually to really be that. But from a fan standpoint, from a fan base, we have the numbers here, I think, now. Now, we want to see this translate to bums in seats at NSL games, at CPL games, at MLS games, right? That's really important, right? That's the true test, right? Because it's all very well to say there's a great, great party with these most gorgeous people and free drinks for this 1 month, and everyone's invited. Of course, everyone's going to come to that party, right? It's in the penthouse. You can oversee this incredible panoramic. There's waiters with champagne flutes. Of course, we're all going to show up, right? Question is, are we going to show up a month after the party's finished to that same penthouse without the free booze and without the beautiful people? That's the question, right? And we have to see that. That's going to be key, I think, for the legacy of this tournament. Out of the millions of people that enjoying this month in Canada, which say, I don't know, say 30% are brand new to the game, how many of them are they going to go to see a Montreal match or a Vancouver match or a Toronto match in either MLS, CPL, or NSL? How many? You know, if you don't see an elevation in those attendances post-World Cup, then kind of what's the point of it?
Well, the thing is, Charms, what you got to remember, sometimes when you're on a bender, you need a little bit of time off before you get back on it again.
So, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to give people a little bit of time and then get back into it again.
Yeah, so what you're saying is don't expect Inter Toronto to have, you know, 6,000 fans at the next game after the World Cup. Give it a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then let's see where we're at. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I needed a break last night, and my buddy Dave Amber called me up and said, hey, I've got tickets to the Arkells. And I've always liked their music. I couldn't name one song, like the name of the song. Yeah. We go.
Oh, the bus is coming.
Is that a song?
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't know. This is my point.
Now you're making me question myself. Yeah.
No. I put on the interweb that, you know, I needed a break because this opening round, 4 matches a day, it's
a lot.
I'm not saying it's excessive, but it's a commitment to just like the couch or having like going to a bar and watching it and changing your kind of how you watch it. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. But going back to the movement or moment, the Arkells even did a shout out to the Canadian men's national team on stage. Really? Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
I see.
Where are they from, the Arkells? Are they Canadian?
Hamilton.
Yeah.
I saw the picture of you and DA, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Wonga, I saw a picture of you and DA from the concert last night.
Yeah.
It's kind of an intimidating guy to stand beside, isn't he?
Lucky I looked okay. I felt okay beside him.
You were okay.
I was thinking about this. You know, Jimmy's fit. Craig is tall and fit. Amy's fit. It's just confidence sometimes when you and I are standing beside him, right? It's like...
Yeah, we're not too bad, though, really.
We're not ugly people. No.
But
they are, like, we forget that we're standing beside either former athletes or national broadcasters that are super fit. And we just have to like own it and be confident. Mm. So that's what I did last night.
Good for you.
You're
good at that. You are good at exuding confidence, Wong. I'll give you that much.
Exuding it. Having none, but exuding it.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
But yeah, I mean, the country's celebrating it, obviously. We're a week into the tournament too, right? We're just kind of scratching the surface with the vibe and the hype. And it is all about the vibes right now, and Canada obviously getting set for this Switzerland match, which we'll get into a lot the next few days. There's not much point getting into it too much right now. But I'll tell you right now, I'm having difficulty maintaining an air of professionalism, and I don't care about that, really. You know, I can put the fanboy hat on quite easily and just celebrate this as a Canadian soccer fan, you know, as well as, you know, occasionally having to be a little bit objective as opposed to just subjective when talking about this team. But it's all been positive apart from a horrible injury so far, really. You know, the concerns of finishing. Let me ask you this, Jimmy, actually. Okay, so the finishing concerns were put to rest, or were they, because it was Qatar? How much should we put into the fact that Qatar's horrible and we're down two men?
I've heard people say that. I don't think you can say Qatar is terrible. After the first game, they looked very, very good defensively, organized. They made it difficult for Switzerland. They kind of grew into the game and rewarded with a goal. What ended up happening with Canada when we played them? We didn't allow them to get into the game. We were at it for 90 on minutes. They had two sending offs, yes, but it's because we were in positions that they had to foul and got sent off. Right. So the work that team, that the national team did on the day was 90 minutes of professionalism, 90 minutes work. It wasn't one of those where, you know, 20 minutes, okay, we're at it. And then we end up dropping off. They get a little bit of momentum. They're coming at us now. It was just us smothering them and didn't give them those opportunities to grow into the game. So I thought it was a great performance. Qatar is not bad, but we didn't allow them to grow into that game, which I thought was a great performance from our team. And talking about the goals, six goals, yeah. You have to get in those areas, and you have to be clinical, and you have to finish. And we did on the day. Our movement was good. I think our precision in the final third was excellent, and the finishing was great as well. So, yeah, overall, it was a great game, and now we got to carry that momentum. I said at the beginning, and people laughed, we're getting 7 points. We're going to win this group. Mm-hmm. We're one win away from it.
No, I think it's, I don't think that's laughable at all. I mean, I think that is, okay, when you said 7 points, did you anticipate one of those, three of those points coming against Switzerland? Probably not. Which
no,
is what you're saying.
I went 3-3-1. So I got it wrong. Okay.
Listen, wait. They haven't beaten Switzerland yet either, right? Just to be clear here, they haven't got 7 points. Before you start, tapping yourself on the back there.
No, I'm excited for it. We need seven because you will not hear the end of it.
No one had them beating Switzerland, and they haven't beaten Switzerland, so we shouldn't get into that. One thing we'll go into more depth on this match in the next couple of days, but one thing, I'm going to do a video on this. I might put the bucket hat back on and do this video, which I find interesting. We talk about, has Canada got a plan B? The criticism has been from people, oh, well, yeah, they're great playing that way, but where's the plan B? Well, listen, the plan A is not smothering teams, right? That's not generally what this team does, but against the Bosnia and against the Qatar teams that did sit deeper, Qatar especially, they had no choice. They had the possession, had all the ball. Now, traditionally against European teams, they won't have the ball, right? So against Romania, remember that 3-0 win? They were fantastic, right? They had 40% possession in that match. Ukraine, they played it 4-2, and remember that one? They had 40% possession. This is Canada. Netherlands, 40% possession. When Jesse Marsh first started out, Switzerland's a very similar team to those teams. They're not elite, perhaps like France and the Dutch, but they're a good team, right? They're actually better, I think, than Ukraine and Romania. Right. And so the chances are, Jimmy, Canada will not have the ball in this match, which they're actually, I think, more, that is plan A, isn't it? That's when they're comfortable. It's pressing. It's winning the ball in dangerous areas.
I've got a couple of thoughts about this. You watched the last match. I thought we were very good in possession against Qatar. Against Bosnia, we had spells of good possession, good movement, especially towards the end of the match when we were pushing forward. Our game plan, and in order for Jesse to really emphasize his style of play and that press and go, and yeah, it's not really possession-based, but you have to kind of master it. And you want teams to have possession so that you can really narrow in and hit your objectives, your principles, and then your sub-principles, where you're going right into detail of how we press and how we get at the ball, and when we do get it, what do we do next? So that, I think, benefited us. It helped us, because it allowed us to focus on that area of how we want to play. Now, the possession part, we're going to be fine with that because we got players that can keep a ball, right? With the national team, yeah, it was a little bit different, but club football, they're in teams where that have possession, that move the ball. Bayern, Villarreal, Juventus, you know, all these teams, if they keep the ball, the possession. LAFC, same thing with Sakyo in the middle of the park. He plays Schwenier. So they can do it. Saliba. These guys can play and they can keep possession when they need to keep possession. And that was one thing that I liked about the last match, was it wasn't go, go, go. That time that we needed a breather, let's keep the ball now. Let's let the ball move, because the ball doesn't sweat. So let's move it. And we did that against Qatar. So we showed two sides there. We showed a good possession, and then we showed us pressing and getting the ball and smothering the team. So going into Switzerland, there's going to be spells, because they're going to have respect for us as well, right? They know that. They know that we're dangerous when we get going. So we're going to have spells and momentum through that game where, yeah, we're going to have possession. We're going to keep the ball. And then other times we're going to be pressing when we don't have the ball. So can we do both sides? Yeah, we can do both sides, which I really like. And like I said, going back to those games that we're talking about, possession. That didn't matter, because we had something that we had to focus on, the way that we want to play, which is our DNA and going. And you have to practice that. You have to train that so that players know right away, okay, I've relived this situation. I've been there before. I remember how we won this. I remember, okay, the ball's on the right side. You know, someone's, Buchanan's going. Now we all shift and everybody goes together collectively. Six of us, we're going. And that takes time. And I think they've nailed it now. They've got it. They've got it down pat.
But they're showing that they can play more than one way, right? And that was criticism for a long time.
Exactly. That's the point.
Yeah. I think it's a fascinating matchup. In many ways, from a matchup standpoint, they might be more comfortable right against a Switzerland. Obviously, a far better team than Qatar and Bosnia. But from a matchup standpoint, from what you said there, they are comfortable ceding possession a little bit across the game, right?
Yeah, they will do. And I think they'll have a better understanding, because it's a European team, about their patterns of play, their movements. You know, nothing's really going to be unorthodox where you're going, where is this guy going from? Because it's, you know, it's Asian football or African football, and everybody's tactically a little bit different. Whereas I think we're going to be more aligned with a European team than what we would have been against others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My biggest takeaway, Sharms, for this was, sorry to interrupt, I felt, and I mentioned it on last week about the Bosnian game, where I felt like they were a little overwhelmed with the moment. You know, we were talking moment versus movement.
First half, for sure.
Yeah, first half. I have to say, like, it was so refreshing to see them meet that moment at BC Place. Whatever. Vancouver Stadium. Or FIFA's coming down on us.
BC Stadium. What are they calling it? What is it called?
BC. What's it called? I don't know.
Is it just
Vancouver Stadium?
Isn't Vancouver Stadium? No?
Yeah, probably.
Vancouver by the water stadium?
It's BC Place.
Okay. Either way, it was so, I was so energized by that match. Not just all the goals and all that. It's that they played as well as they should be playing. And I don't feel like they did that in the Bosnian game. It felt, they came back. Look, Kyle Larin's goal was timely and all the above. Promise David came in and was bashing people. But they seemed to come in with a different personality. And it was a little... And I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Some people agreed with me. Some people didn't. But I think the moment got caught up with them in that first match. And I have to say, they looked like a different, almost like a different team against Qatar. Like it looked like two different teams.
No, I think Jesse Marsh alluded to that, right? About that first half. And did you see the Canada Soccer released video piece from halftime of that match and what was being said in the room? It's great. Check it out. In fact, check out just Instagram and X. Check out, if you haven't already, Canada Soccer's feeds. They're really good. And they're really taking you inside the room. Now, I don't think you'd see a lot of teams allow that or do that. But there's an understanding in Canadian soccer with the CSA right now where they know we have to get the message out there. We have to get eyeballs on us. We have to get these personalities out there. They've never done that before. So they're putting cameras inside the dressing room at the halftime of World Cup matches, right? And then releasing that video. That's brilliant. I think it's genius, and it seems obvious, but very few teams do that until after the tournament, perhaps. But during a tournament, it's brilliant. And it's getting so many eyeballs on this team and making them even more likable, this bunch of players. And that's why, I mean, this whole Ishmael Kone injury is awful, obviously. But there's a lot more people are aware of this team now than they were before the match because of that. And because of that image of Nathan Saliba holding up the number 8 jersey. A lot more people. I think that's, there's no silver lining to that kind of injury. I'm not even suggesting that. But it's weird how, I mentioned it before in the last show, wasn't it? How 2012 and the US scandal, which deprived Canada of a chance at a gold medal, how that brought more eyeballs to the team than ever before. These kind of weird things sometimes happen, right? Organically.
Yeah. Well, also the fact that, like, my French Canadian family, my cousin who lives in Sept-Îles, so Seven Islands up in northern Quebec, he's texting me going, he's following it also because of the makeup of our team. We're a real national team. It's across the country. And I find that so refreshing too. It's not just, there's a lot of representation from Southern Ontario, but lots from Montreal, a few, even Nova Scotia and Shafelberg. Like, this is so great. And Segur in Vancouver. And it is a true national team. And I think that is what gets everybody. It's kind of like having when our Team Canada hockey team is together.
Yeah.
They're the French, the guys from Quebec, there's guys from all over the country. And it makes
this is global though, Wilder. This is unlike that. This is people talking. I mean, I've got a family group chat, right, from Scotland, and they don't barely know what shape a soccer ball is. They don't care. However, they will root for Scotland at World Cups and hope that England lose. Right, it's a lot of fun, that conversation. Love this chat, by the way. It's brilliant. Oh my god, my family. Anyway, but they mentioned Canada. Wow, that was awful injury. I'm like, what? You've heard of this? You've seen this? And my sister's chiming in. My mum watched the game. Or at least she was in the room when the game was being played, which is a step forward from generally when she'll scuttle off to her bedroom in disgust when soccer's on the TV. Right? This is changing. It is. So, it's more of a global field. The whole world's talking about incidents, and that was one of them. And we're two games in for Canada, right? They're playing the Swiss. We're going to be playing in a knockout game within 10 days or so. And it's going to just get bigger and bigger. Other things I want to touch on before we say farewell today. We saw our first red card, Jimmy, with someone covering their mouth. Miguel Almiron. How much fun was that, by the way?
Oh, it was brilliant. But that's the thing now. Like, players are clued in, right?
Except for Miguel Almiron.
Yeah. The minute he goes like this, you could see the Tunisian guy go, hey, by the way, he's covered his mouth.
What a little bitch, by the way. Sorry. let's just call it for what it is. The way he just ran. Oh my God. He just said something to me. Oh, I understand why he did it.
Yeah.
I wanted to punch him in the head. Sorry, if I was Almiron, what do you want to punch
him? Like a tattletale?
Yeah. But you're right. You're not seeing it.
As soon as he covered his mouth, he went straight to the assistant. Yeah. Right? They saw it. So, you can't do it. You got to be smart. If you're going to call the guy whatever you like, you're going to swear at him. Just say it.
Yeah, just say
it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just say it to his face.
Because he could call him any word in the book, really, and it'd be fine. Aside from anything that's going to be, racist, homophobic. There's an array of words out there you can still use without covering your mouth.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
You could go,
I just use one.
Yeah,
you could have said that. Probably it would have been fine, I imagine.
Yeah, lots of words still work, like fuck nose. Yep. Come on, you old fuck nose.
That's a great one, actually.
yeah.
Cunty bollocks.
Oh, see, you can get away with that.
You know, yeah, we're doing this now because during the week we were on SSN, we shouldn't really be swearing, and we've been holding back. Now it's Saturday, and we're just Footy Prime, our Footy Prime audience.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, God, we can breathe again. We can start saying terrible words. Dubs is missing out.
That's right. That's
right. So there's that, which I thoroughly enjoyed. That match, I mean, there's a chance, I think, Canada could play Paraguay. Oh, Paraguay and Turkey, I mean, they're disgusting teams to watch, aren't they? There's some great talent on those teams. But Paraguay's always been one of the best teams with the dark arts. Did you ever play against Paraguay, Jimmy?
No, not Paraguay. No.
They were the first team in world football I hated.
Oh.
Watching England play them, I forget when it was, what World Cup it was. I was young. And just it was the first time I was introduced to diving and embellishment and the dark arts. And I hated it. They're a horrible team, but they know how to do it as good as anyone out there. And that game yesterday was just quite vicious. What else? The States are pretty good, Jimmy. And,
yeah,
they're good.
And I'm hearing, I'm reading for the first time from the US media, things like, could we win the World Cup? Are we ready to win the World Cup?
They're not that good.
No, they're not that good, are they? Can we be honest?
No. Yeah. Not that good.
Surprise
they're,
me though,
fun,
Jimmy.
They're fun side to watch. They're gonna they'll go pretty far, but to win it, no, come on.
But I didn't think they'd boss the Aussies like that. Like it was a pretty. I watched the first half and I had to split, but I watched the first half and it was 2-0 after the first half. It stayed that way, but they overwhelmed the Aussies and I was surprised by that.
Yeah. I was surprised just because of how good the Aussies looked in the first match.
Yeah.
But it's still Australia, right? They're not a great side, but good for the States. They are playing really well. And Pochettino, for all the criticism, that's kind of left him. Do you hear this chant? Again, I couldn't say this on during the week, but a chant that the English fans were using. Or was it the Aussie fans? It may have been the Aussie fans, actually, were saying this during the US match. All right, this is a chant from the stands. He's fat with piles. He's in the Epstein files. Trump the cunt. Trump the cunt. He's fat with piles. He's in the Epstein files. Trump the cunt. Trump the cunt. What a great chant. It's one of the best ones so far. Any others you've heard, dear listener, please let us know.
Yeah.
Any comment you want to get to? Comments you want to get to before we
No, I didn't. I didn't pull any comments this day because I thought we'd make it short and sweet, and the three of us could try our chemistry for the first time. So how about you? I did want to mention if people are on the podcast or on YouTube, please keep sending messages in. It really gives us a lot of great content to deal with. And the other thing I was talking to Dubs about is, if you disagree with us, feel free to disagree in the comments, but please do not put like a thumbs down or any of that kind of stuff, because it actually messes with our algorithm. So if you enjoy our content but disagree with us, that totally makes sense. We have lots of disagreements on the pod. Feel free to comment, but please don't go out of your way to give us low stars for the podcast or low stars on YouTube. Or whatever the mechanism is to say, oh, I disagree. Just put it in the comments and have a comment. Go and have a dash at us, which a lot of people do. So,
yeah, a thumbs down isn't you just saying, ah, I don't like that take. It's like saying, yeah, we want to screw with you and we want to hurt you.
Yeah, and people don't always know that. That's right.
No, exactly. I've got one comment I want to quickly say here. It's from a tenor ref. It says, Wongerton, a new British costume drama. Totally goofy, couldn't it? Be a lot of sex scenes in it, I bet you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, that's the pod for this Saturday. I think we have pretty good chemistry. We could do it again for sure.
Of course.
No, let's think about it. We'll think about it.
We'll consider it.
Jimmy's not convinced.
Jimmy didn't enjoy it one bit.
He's got the sweats right now. He's been enjoying himself too much.
I dare say when we return on probably Monday,
yeah,
be the full crew or close to the full crew anyway, back here. But yeah, in addition to what Wunga said there, make sure you do like us. Thumbs up count a lot as well. Give us good reviews. Again, mention comments. Check out our Patreon. It's available now, growing all the time. And subscribe. If you're not subscribing, you're just discovering us now. Subscribe. It's pretty much daily content, or close to, on all platforms. So we'll keep doing it. And if numbers improve, we'll keep on doing it more and more post-World Cup.
Absolutely.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM.
Make it legendary.
Until next time, enjoy the weekend, everyone. Some big games on offer. Can't wait. Cheers for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.